Zechariah. Go back to Zechariah with me. Chapter number 3. I'm going to continue here in this great book of visions that Zechariah had. And this book is so, let me just review a little bit this morning. This book is so important for us today. As I said, the title, The Lord of Hosts, is mentioned 53 times just in these 14 chapters, more than any other book of the Bible. 53 times the Lord of Hosts is mentioned. Now, that is the Lord, that's Jehovah of Hosts, Jehovah. And Jehovah is Jesus in the New Testament. And it's Jesus. And He is the sovereign God who rules and reigns over everything. He's the Lord of all the armies of heaven. He's the Lord over all the angels. He's the Lord over all creation. He's the Lord over all the stars. He is the Lord over all the armies. He is Lord. And as we said this morning, this title does not appear until you get to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, it appears when Israel decides they want a king. And, you know, they're going to have their king. We want to be like the rest of the nations. They all got kings. So we want a king. And that was not the plan of God. God was actually, He had been their leader, their sovereign, their God, their king, their Lord, and working through the prophets up till that time. And then 1 Samuel, we want us a king. So then comes the Lord of Hosts, and the Lord of Hosts is saying to them, listen, king or no king, whoever you got, all the kings of the earth, all the princes, all the presidents, all the prime ministers, whomever, whenever, wherever, at whatever age, I am still the Lord. I'm still the king. And we need that today, church. We need that. We need to understand that He is the Lord of Hosts over everything. And Zechariah, let me just review a minute again here, remind you that they've come back from Babylonian captivity. The nation had been in captivity. They'd been slaves for 70 years. And Darius, no doubt, without a question, directed by God, obeyed God and said, you guys go back, rebuild the city, build the temple back, get it going. And that's what God wants you to do. So He allowed them to return. But there wasn't that many. A few thousand went back to the city to rebuild it. The majority stayed in Babylon. This Daniel was still alive, by the way, when the command was given to go back. Daniel was alive, and he was an old man, he was in his 90s then. And Daniel is brokenhearted because there wasn't more people that wanted to go back to Israel. Man, there wasn't more that wanted to be back there. And so he's grieved about it. He prays, and the Lord gives him some great revelations and great prophetic news that is current for us today. Daniel in the Old Testament, without a doubt, had the most prophetic views of the end times of anybody. And we look to him today to even explain the book of the Revelation to Daniel. But he got that under a great burden because many of the Jews did not get back or did not go back. They were given the opportunity, did not go back. They didn't see the need. Now let me bring that to a spiritual place here. Daniel wanted them to see the need of getting back into Jehovah worship. Yes, they had Jehovah worship in Babylon, but not like they had back in Jerusalem. It wasn't the same. They wasn't in the homeland, the promised land. And God had promised you can go back. And Daniel told them, God said through Jeremiah, you could go back in 70 years, so that's where you need to go. The rest of them said, hey, man, we got nice homes over here in Babylon, and, you know, let's just stay here. And so it really was a disobedience toward God that they didn't go back. So here they are, they're back, the nations around Jerusalem are not happy to see them back in the land. They don't like the Jews coming back and rebuilding and starting back again. And so they are doing everything to hinder them. There's great discouragement in Zechariah, Malachi, and Haggai, these three prophets, all three of them, went back with this group back to the land, and they're trying to encourage them. You guys keep on. And Zechariah, more than any, as I said, he keeps telling them, the Lord of hosts is with us. Don't you understand? You don't have to be afraid of these nations. You don't have to be afraid of anything else. The Lord is with us, the Lord of hosts. And so they needed the encouragement of Zechariah. And each one of his visions, actually, is it applies to them particularly, to their actual situation, but also to us in our day, because Satan's tactics has not changed. He's doing the same thing today when he was attacking the people of Israel back here in the days of Zechariah, doing exactly the same thing. He hasn't changed. He's lying to them. He is being an aggressor. He's being an accuser. And that's where we left this morning, Zechariah chapter 3. Here's old Satan standing there. He's accusing the people and just giving every reason why that they, you know, God shouldn't bless them, and he's lying to them. And that is that's the tool that he's using today, the lies of the devil. He is a liar. The Lord Jesus said about him in John 8:44, he's a liar, he's a murderer. And Christ said that from the very beginning. So you know that when he accuses God with the people of God, he is lying. And he did that to Job, the oldest book of the Bible, and wanted God. Of course, here's God. Here is God that he knows everything. But here's Satan. He thinks he is so arrogant. He's so confident. He's so full of pride. And remember, the sin that is the root sin of all sin is pride. And pride was born in the heart of the devil. I almost preached a sermon tonight on why do we have a Satan? Why is he even here? And how did he get here, and what's his purpose? Maybe we will sometime later. But Satan, in his heart, pride was born. That's where it was. Sin was born in his heart, and it was pride. And pride is the root cause of all sin. And can't you see old Satan in pride, in all this arrogance, standing before God and saying to him, you know, look at so-and-so down there. Look at Brad Davis. Man, why on earth are you fooling around with him? Look at the folks at Antioch. Look at this one. Look at that one. And, you know, look how they failed. Look at all the faults they've got. Look at all this. They don't love you. They don't follow you. They don't surrender. Oh, look what a big mistake he made right there. Man, oh, man. Look at that, God. And he throws all these things up. And the Lord defends us. Now, that's the wonderful thing. We have an adversary, the devil. We have an accuser, the devil. Look in chapter 3, but I didn't get to spend a lot of time on this morning, but we need it. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is standing there. Now look at this in Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua. Now Joshua, a real person, not the Joshua that... you remember the old story, fit the battle of Jericho. This ain't the same Joshua. Fit the battle, okay? He didn't fit no battle. But anyway, this is Joshua. He is the high priest. And Zechariah says, I saw him standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing there at his right hand to resist him or to accuse him. Satan standing there pointing that finger and accusing him, resisting him. It's the word accuse. And the Lord said unto Satan, look who defends Joshua. The Lord did. The Lord, Jehovah, all right? Yahweh, Jesus, said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand that's plucked out of the fire? Well, hallelujah. There the Lord rebukes Satan. The Lord rebukes Satan with the fact that he was merciful and gracious and got Joshua. It wasn't that he was worthy of it. It was the fact of the grace and the mercy of God. The brand plucked out of the fire. I mean, he was ready to drop in, and I grabbed him out of there. And that's what all of us are. Jude talks about even pulling the brands out of the fire. Jude was that one that writer right before the book of the Revelation that tells us of this days of apostasy that we're in. He gives a great description of the very days that we're in. Talks about even the rapture of the church. In Jude, he says the Lord's coming back. Even Enoch saw the rapture of the church. Enoch saw it. He said, hey, the Lord's returning with 10,000s of his saints. How'd them 10,000s of saints get there? They went there by the rapture, and they're coming back with him. So Enoch, right there in the Old Testament, he saw the rapture. Jude talks about it. He's coming, but he also talks about plucking the brand right out of the fire. And that's exactly what the Lord says to Satan. Hey, my grace, I reach down and got him. I've got him. I've got the nation of Israel. It's also in reference to the nation of Israel as well. I've got the nation of Israel. I have this man, Joshua, and the Lord rebuke you. Now look at this. In verse number 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. And he, God, answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Joshua, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I love that. And he says, get those filthy garments off that guy. He is mine. He belongs to me. I'm putting new clothes on him. And he puts priestly clothes in verse number 5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. Set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. So this, all of these garments mentioned here, the mitre and the clothing that he's got on, these are all priestly garments. The Bible tells you and I that we are part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God, the church of God, the believers. We are that. That's who we are. And then the angel gives him an instruction in verse number 7, says, if you'll walk in my way, thou keep my charge, and thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts. So there is a responsibility and a command given to Joshua here as well. But understand this, Satan is an accuser. Now drop down there in verse number 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, Jesus. Now, who is this servant? Isaiah 52 and 53 describes him very perfectly. He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the branch that's out of Judah. He is out of David. It's the Lord Jesus. So, Zechariah, in this portion here, when Satan is accusing and when Satan is pointing the finger and he's accusing us to God, the Lord Jesus is our defender. The Lord Jesus is the one that we claim. We claim the blood of Christ, the resurrection power of Christ, the power of his ascension. We claim that in the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's who we have. He is our advocate. So when you have the accuser that's standing there slandering you to God, you have the Lord Jesus that represents you, who says, they belong to me. They're mine. You remember we sang the song, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. And they don't. They're gone. The sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. The sins are gone. They're washed. They're cleaned by the blood of Christ. They're never remembered again. Hallelujah. And hallelujah for that. Now, notice something else here. Not only does Satan accuse men to God, men and women, boys and girls, but he accuses God to men. And here's what he's doing today. He is such a liar that he accuses, he did this with Eve, he accuses him and says, hey, God's not good. He's not good anymore. I mean, if he was really good, he wouldn't have brought you through this. He wouldn't have put you in this situation that you're in. If he was really good, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen in your life. He wouldn't have taken this loved one. If he was really good, he wouldn't have allowed what happened to you to happen to you if he was really good. So God's not good. And he's whispering that today. He's telling that to so many people to get them to hate God and deny God. And all the time, God is so merciful. I told you about the former atheist that came in here a number of years ago on a Monday morning and sat in my study. And he said to me, you know, I don't know why I'm here, preacher. I don't like the church. I don't like you. And I'd never seen him before. I don't like you. I don't like the church. I don't even want to know. I don't think there is a God. If there was a God, you know what he said? If there was a God, I would hate him. I said, why would you hate him? Because of the things that happens to me. And has happened to me in my boyhood, my lifetime. I don't know. He didn't go into the details, but had a pretty rough boyhood. I said, what on earth, could have happened? I said to myself, but he said, I hate him if there is one. I don't believe there is one. And I said, well, what are you doing here on a Monday morning talking to me then? And he said, because for some reason last night I never wanted to know more about him than I do now. And he was scared. I mean, he was under conviction. He didn't know what conviction was, but he was shaking like a leaf. He was trembling as he could be. But old Satan had lied to him and filled his mind with the thought that God is not good. If there was a God, he's not good. If there was a God, and he said, the atheist, former atheist, said these words, if there was a God, I would hate him. Now think about that. And the devil has filled his mind with all these lies. Thanks be to God, we just took the word of God and started going through the scriptures to show him about this God that he didn't think existed. And this God that he didn't think existed started working in his heart and began to convict him. And he looked at me, and this is without a doubt one of the most astounding statements I ever heard from a human being that had never met God or knew a thing about Jesus. Here's what he said. After about an hour, at least an hour, that I started in Genesis and just started explaining how that God came, and every time he tried to redeem man, he worked a certain way with men. Men always ended up failing. Men blew it. We had the flood. Adam and Eve blew it first. Then we had the flood. And then human government failed and couldn't do this right and couldn't do that right. I got to the New Testament and I said, but Jesus came. The Son of God, the very God himself, Jesus came. And this fellow said this, most astounding statement I ever heard. He sat up in upright in the chair. He just straightened up like this. And he held his hand up and said, wait a minute. You're telling me the truth. I said, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? He said, I feel it in here. Right here. Something tells me you're telling me the truth. I said, you know who that something is? His name's God, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is astounding. I've told you that before. But remember, Satan has filled his mind with lies. He's filled his life with lies. He's operated on lies. He was in his 30s then, maybe even early 40s, but late 30s. And he's operated all his life on lies, listening to the devil. And God, the Holy Ghost, brought the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and stuck it in his heart. And he knew. So when Satan is accusing you before God, what does God do? He goes straight to the cross. That's for the Lord Jesus. Jehovah says, hey, I took care of all them sins. I've forgiven them. I paid their sin debt. And listen, Satan, they're clean. You get out of here. That's what he did with Job. That was even before the cross. Man, he just said, hey, my servant Job, he's my servant. And I love the fact that the Lord Jesus points to the cross. Now, when we have Satan whispering all those things in our ears, God is not good. I left this morning telling you that he also uses this lie, God is not great. He's not powerful enough to fight your battles. He's not powerful enough to stop this evil that's going on. He's not powerful enough to get you to heaven. No, God, he's just not powerful enough. You hear the news of today, and yes, it is bad news. It's news that we don't like to hear. We'd love to hear the news that revival is sweeping across America. And I love when God was working in some of the colleges. I praise the Lord for that, wherever He's working. And say hallelujah and glory be to Jesus for Him working that way. We'd love to have that news. But the news that we are hearing today is that we're going further down in the cesspools of sin and further down. And inflation is rising and the economy is worse. And we're hearing all of this news. And with all of that bombardment, Satan whispers and says, He can't get you out of this. He's not powerful enough. And by the way, if He could have got you out of that job you're in or out of that situation you're in or out of this circumstance in your home or this circumstance here, He just is not that powerful. You've been lied to, and He's not got enough power to do it. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. Don't forget, the Lord of hosts is our Lord. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's the Lord over all the armies of God. That's the Lord over all the angels, the Lord over all the stars, all creation. He is Lord, and He's my Lord. Hallelujah. He's my King. And that's what Zechariah keeps pointing these people to. 53 times in 14 little chapters, he keeps saying to them, don't you forget, you've got the Lord of hosts with you. Don't you forget, the Lord of hosts is here. I mean, who cares what those armies look like out there? Who cares how many they have? It doesn't make any difference. The Lord of hosts is with you. The book of Deuteronomy, that's a wonderful book. Christ quoted from that book more than any other book of the Old Testament. You know why he did? Because the book of Deuteronomy is a book that continually talks about the power of God, the might of God. They're not to trust in themselves, but they're to trust in God. And the priests were required to go out and read the book of Deuteronomy to the armies of Israel before they went into battle. This is required reading. You guys got to have it. Now you'd think, boy, an army, I mean, you don't want to go out there and give them the Bible. You want to go out there and, you know, help them up and everything, you know. I know them looks like giants out there, but don't worry about it. You guys can handle them. No. They went out there and said, no, you guys can't handle them, but the God of you guys can handle them. That God can take care of the giants. Don't you worry about it. Remember when Caleb and Joshua came back with the 10 other spies that went into Canaan, and they'd spent 40 days over there, and the 10 other spies come and they say, oh, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Oh, boy, you ought to see it. Man, oh, man. They brought one cluster of grapes back, had to be carried on a pole between two men. My goodness, grapes big enough, they squeezed the innards out and put it on their head and crossed the river with it. Amen. Swimming through the water with a bathing cap. But anyway, that's a little imagination there. But that came from First Bradley. I thought I'd share that with you. But anyway, here they did. I mean, that's what it looked like in these 10 spices. Oh, it really is. It's something else. You wouldn't believe it. Man, the grass is green and the cows and the cattle over there. Milk is literally, the cows are so fat that milk is literally leaking out of their udders. This historian says this, out of their udders, and the bees are working on that milk as it's down on the ground. And there's honey flowing everywhere. And look at these grapes. Look at all this. Just exactly what God said. And they said, but it's so, man, them giants over there, wow. Well, man, they got armies like you wouldn't believe. Now listen, while them rascals are saying that, the cloudy pillar, this supernatural cloud, is right there standing with them. The very presence of God. At nighttime, it's a pillar of fire. I mean, it is a column of fire. The whole camp sees it at night. The whole camp sees it at the day. I mean, there's God. And here's these 10, and that God's there. And they said, but, you know, there's giants over there. Caleb and Joshua, they're taken back, and they run in and say, wait a minute. Hush, you guys. Listen, be quiet. That's not so. We're well able to take it. Look over there. Look who we got with us. Look at this cloud. Look at this pillar of fire. Look who we have with us. Look at what he's done for us all this time. Look at this. And you don't think we can't handle them big tall boys? Hey, they're nothing. They're grasshoppers. Oh, no, we'll be grasshoppers in their sight. And there stands God. Now, church, listen to me. Don't let the devil steal your joy, your thunder, your excitement. Don't let him put you in depression or discouragement. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. I say to our young people, to our children, don't you entertain a negative thought towards your God that he is not good, he is not great. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord over all the armies. No matter which army, wherever it, and it makes no difference. He's the Lord over all the angels, over all creation. He is Lord. And he wants you to keep that in your mind. And when these thoughts that Satan throws into your mind, that God's not good, and it'll always fall into that category. Turn this off if you don't care, please. I think I'm getting that feedback from that one. But anyway, he is always throwing one of those two things, God's not good or God's not great. But Satan is a liar. What do? You take him to the Calvary. You say, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus, he shed his blood for me. He died in my place. He gave his own life for me. And then he rose again alive forever. I claim the blood of Christ and the resurrection power of Jesus. I claim that. Hallelujah. Satan, get out of here. Do I have the authority to tell the devil to hit the road? I sure do. In the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, I can tell Satan, get out of here. Get out of this room. Get out around from my people. Get away from them. In the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, through his resurrection power, you have to flee. I'm not listening to your lies. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts against my lovely Lord. I will not. And you go straight to the cross, just like your advocate in heaven, the Lord Jesus, is there when Satan comes up and accuses you. He is an old accuser. And another thing he is an adversary. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, he is an adversary. And be sober, be vigilant. Remember, because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, he's an adversary, he's your enemy, he's not your friend, he's not there to help you, he's a liar, don't listen to him. Now, a roaring lion is using his voice to intimidate, right? That's the reason lions roar. They want to intimidate their victim. The victim gets scared to death because the lion slips up on them. And, you know, sneaks around through the trees and in the grass and slips up on them there and goes, "Rawr!" I woke some of y'all up. I did that on purpose, but anyway. Now, and intimidates them, gets them stirred, and they start, "Oh, look at that. Listen at what." And it's all his voice. That lion could be as toothless as grandma that's 110. Could be. And all he's got is a roar. I like to see it like this. The teeth of the lion was pulled at Calvary. All he can do is lie. All he can do is send out a fear tactic. And the teeth were pulled. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, the Lord destroyed the works of the devil. And he certainly has. He embarrassed him openly. He pulled the teeth of the lion. Did you ever watch, let me think what that Christmas special is. I remember every Christmas special for some odd reason. Anyway, I remember them all. You remember the one where the little fella, he wanted to be a dentist and he pulled the teeth of the abominable snowman. You remember that? What was that, Jen? You remember? Rudolph. The red-nosed reindeer. But anyway, he pulled the teeth of that old abominable snowman. That's exactly what has happened when Jesus rose from the grave. He destroyed the works of the devil, defeated him openly, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and you and I go to the cross. We do have an accuser, but he's only a liar and an accuser. We do have an adversary, but our Lord Jesus has already overcome the adversary, the devil. Hallelujah. He is our enemy. He's not out there for your good. He will lie to you in everything. And the Bible also says, Peter warns about this, or rather the Lord Jesus in John 8:44. He said he's not only is he a liar, but he is a murderer. He is a murderer. Have you wondered why you're seeing so much murder in our nation again? I won't say again, I'll say for the first time. It's actually there are those that are in the world that worship murder. They worship death. They worship a goddess of death. And they're murder worshipers. Now guess who's behind all of that? Guess who fills these folks? Satan. And you probably didn't know this, but this is fact. I mean, it's studied out. Way back years ago, when before the Columbine killings in the school out there, there were those in that region that were there worshiping death, how to die, not how to die right with God, but how the chemistry of death worked and what it would feel like. They even had students, they had people in this group, in groups out there, that were writing their obituaries. Can you imagine a kid telling the kid, hey, you know, write your obituary out and write down these things. That was going on before this Columbine stuff. Satan was already working that far back. I'm just showing you how the old adversary is there, the accuser is there, but our defense in every way is the cross of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus, my friend. And don't think, well, you know, preacher, that's 2,000 years ago. You know, what do we need is now. You know what? That's what the progressive woke denominations are saying. They're saying this Bible was written at a different time. And it's one fella, I read his quote, I read the quote, said, this Bible's inspired, but it's not for our day. And I thought, how ridiculous. It's the word that tells you on beyond our day. If it's not for our day, then throw away the revelation, throw away the book that's telling us what's going to happen throughout eternity. But if it's not for our time, if it doesn't cover everything, then we don't have a completed copy of the Word, but we do have. It is inspired. It is the Word of God. It is eternal. And I want to tell you something. This book will always be perfect, and it will be the exact truth we need no matter what age we are, no matter what dispensation we get into. So yes, you have an accuser. Yes, you have an adversary. Also, 2 Corinthians 14 tells us that we have one right now that can appear as an angel of light. What do you mean, preacher, an angel of light? I mean he can appear almost as if he's Jesus. Now think of that for a minute. Almost as if he is telling the truth. That's what he's doing today. How do you think he's going to deceive an entire world of people? How's he going to deceive them if he don't appear in some ways and imitate Christ? Christ is the very God himself. Jesus, the very God himself. Jesus, the very Son of God, the very God himself. He's Jehovah, but old Satan's going to come along and he's going to be an imitator. He'll be able through trickery to perform, quote, some miracles. Miracles are only from God, but Satan will do some tricks and things to make people think that he is God. During the 7-year tribulation, Satan will actually take on a body. He will go into a body, the body of a person that we know and the Bible calls the Antichrist. And it tells us that he will deceive the entire world. I want you to, let me just give you a couple of things and I'm going to finish up here. Satan fills this person, convinces the world that he's the Christ. And many will believe it. Now the church, who already knows the Lord Jesus, we have Christ in us, we're already going to be gone. We wouldn't fall for this guy. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10 that the folks on the earth that's left in the trib, that they'll shout at the time, there's one more time where Satan is going to be cast out of even coming into the throne room. See, right now, the devil has to keep an appointment. And what do you mean, preacher? I mean, God makes him, requires him to give an account. Oh, don't you know that embarrasses the devil? He has to go back up. He has to go back into heaven where he was kicked out of, and the Lord requires him to give an account. And here's the Lord Jesus who's defeated and destroyed the devil. I mean, the works of the devil, defeated him at Calvary. Here's the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning. And Satan has to give an account. But Revelation chapter number 12 talks about a yet future battle where Satan's going to lead another army, another attack on heaven. And then he's going to, of course, be defeated and kicked out. And on the earth, this will be about mid-tribulation, on the earth, the folks are shouting and saying, and the saints of God are shouting and saying, the old accuser of the brethren is cast down. Yes, he is. He's cast down. So we're always shouting, the accuser is cast down. And he is, if you go to the cross. Now, in Revelation chapter number 13, just show you give you a little bit of info. In St. Louis, Brother Josh wrote an article on this. It's in, if you're online with Southwest Radio Ministries, he's the one who brought this to my attention. But in St. Louis, Missouri, this weekend, Panera Bread with Amazon. Amazon's behind it. But two Panera Bread locations in St. Louis are going to go to a cardless, cashless transaction system that you take your hand and rub it over a scanner. And those folks who've signed up with their palm print, in essence, will pay, money will be taken out of their bank account just with their hand. Now, Revelation chapter number 13 says that the mark of the beast will be in the hand or the forehead. Now, Amazon is pushing this big time because they're using this advertisement. Here's what it says. The advertisement says something like this. You don't need anything but your sweet self. Just bring yourself. And yourself will never be duplicated. Scan your hand. That's it. Also, they're working. Remember, Revelation 13 says, in the hand, the mark of the beast in the hand, or the forehead. They're working on a facial recognition where they just see your face. And that will allow them into any bit of information you have. It'll allow them into your bank account anywhere. I mean, they'll identify you. They know where you are. They know everything about you. All of your information just by scanning your face or your hand. Now, children, we're close, I think, to going home. But what I want to encourage is exactly what God gives us out of Zechariah, and that is we have the Lord of hosts with us. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is in control, the armies of heaven. I mean, the giants are maybe out there, but so what? He's the giant killer. This opposition is out there. You have accusations and adversaries and all of this. But our Lord is with us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And glory be to God. I want to encourage you, like Zechariah was encouraging those folks, is, hey, you get to the work, man. Listen, let's build this place. Let's build it. Let's get this work done. Because the Lord of hosts is with us. Forget the enemy. Forget those folks out there. Satan's a liar. Don't worry about him. just remember the Lord of hosts is with us. We have Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I heard an old, old story of a Savior who came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my blood is due him. He leads me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Thanks for being here. Amen. Thank you, Brent, Karis. Good to have you, man. Thanks for